Hello, friends. This is Andrew Phipps, and I welcome you to our Faith, Family, and Freedom podcast. I hope today that you will be ready to enjoy a program that has been designed with you in mind. We have some wonderful segues. We have some film footage, and then we have some wonderful friends that will really bring some inspiration and hopefully some things that will be of a positive nature. I think you're going to enjoy it immensely. We feel like that as we get ready for the 4th of July season, the picnics, the hot dogs, the lemonade, the cool watermelon, and maybe getting out with the children and parades and all of the fireworks and hot dogs and the baseball games. There's so many activities, and rightfully so. John Adams, one of the five men that helped write the Declaration, wanted us to have a huge celebration. He felt like that so much effort, people had given so much, people had given their lives to have this freedom, and so he wanted it celebrated. And today it came to my mind that we ought to do something and step back in time. General Douglas MacArthur, who was the Supreme Commander in the Far East, in the Pacific, that is, gave a farewell address to the Congress after he had been relieved of his duties by President Harry Truman. And the speech was called Duty, Honor, and Country. And I realize this is old film footage, but perhaps you can get a little bit of what the general was saying to us. Let's go to that video right now, if possible. Thank you.
Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, and distinguished members of the Congress, I stand on this rostrum with a sense of deep humility and great pride. Humility in the wake of those great American architects of our history who have stood here before me. Pride in the reflection that this forum of legislative debate represents human liberty in the purest form yet devised. Here are centered the hopes and aspirations and faith of the entire human race. I do not stand here as advocate for any partisan cause, for the issues are fundamental and reach quite beyond the realm of partisan consideration. They must be resolved on the highest plane of national interest if our course is to prove sound and our future protected. I trust, therefore, that you will do me the justice of receiving that which I have to say as solely expressing the considered viewpoint of a fellow American. I address you with neither rancor nor bitterness, in the fading twilight of life, with but one purpose in mind, to serve my country. The issues are global and so interlocked that to consider the problems of one sector oblivious to those of another is but to court disaster for the whole. While Asia is commonly referred to as the gateway to Europe, it is no less true that Europe is the gateway to Asia, and the broad influence of the one cannot fail to have its impact upon the other. There are those who claim our strength is inadequate to protect on both fronts, that we cannot divide our effort. I can think of no greater expression of defeatism. If a potential enemy can divide his strength on two fronts, it is for us to counter his effort. The communist threat is a global one. Its successful advance in one sector threatens the destruction of every other sector. You cannot appease or otherwise surrender to communism in Asia without simultaneously undermining our efforts to halt its advance in Europe. Beyond pointing out these general truisms, I shall confine my discussion to the general areas of Asia. Before one may objectively assess the situation now existing there, he must comprehend something of Asia's past and the revolutionary changes which have marked her course up to the present. Long exploited by the so-called colonial powers, with little opportunity to achieve any degree of social justice, individual dignity, or a higher standard of life, such as guided our own noble administration of the Philippines, the peoples of Asia found their opportunity in the war just past to throw off the shackles of colonialism and now see the dawn of new opportunity, a heretofore unfelt dignity, and the self-respect of political freedom. Mustering half of the Earth's population and 60% of its natural resources, these peoples are rapidly consolidating a new force, both moral and material, with which to raise the living standard and erect adaptations of the design of modern progress to their own distinct cultural environments. Whether one adheres to the concept of colonization or not, this is the direction of Asian progress, and it may not be stopped.
And here, of course, we saw MacArthur and what he called defeatism, and obviously he wanted to extend the war beyond the 38th parallel. And he and Truman obviously were in a leadership battle. Truman was arguing basically for civilian control of the military, and MacArthur, who had a lot of support among very Republican conservatives at the time, you know, Korea was declared as an undeclared war. But when we talk about leadership, I want to bring in, and I know our guests have waited, but I'd like to bring in Tom Sproles, if we might. Tom Sproles, good to see you.
Good to see you too, Brother Andrew.
Well, Tom, you are a leader in our part of the state of Indiana, and your leadership goes nationwide. Your family, you've read and I think written materials on this. And we talk about leadership, even Christian leadership. What are some things that you might bring to the narrative today that would enhance all of our understanding of what we call leadership?
Sure. I'm honored to be with you here today, Brother Andrew. Appreciate you. Appreciate your leadership down through the years. I think sometimes, you know, we think of leadership in a big scope. We think of the General MacArthur's and the presidents and people like that. I think there's a lot more day-to-day leadership, you know, in smaller arenas. And I like to focus on some of the basics of leadership. Of course, qualities of leadership, you know, transcend the size of your organization that you're leading. But specifically when we talk about Christian leadership, you know, I think the foundation of Christian leadership is being a person of integrity. If right. if our followers can't trust us to make the right decisions and make the right choices at any time, no matter the circumstances, then we really have no foundation of trust for those that we're asking to follow us. So I think being a person of integrity gives us the foundation of trust that makes people want to work with us to carry out our vision as leaders. I certainly enjoyed that clip from General MacArthur and just noted a few things that I felt from his short speech there. He started off with humility. You know, survey after survey lists the greatest quality of a leader as humility. We don't often think of leaders, many of leaders today don't seem to possess much humility, yet the followers and the people we're leading say that humility is one of the greatest assets of a leader. And I think that goes back to integrity. I don't think people expect us to be perfect as leaders. They don't expect perfection. But if we can be humble when we make mistakes, and we're going to make mistakes as leaders, if we can be quick to apologize and show humility, right. I think that builds trust. I think leaders, great leaders, are people of their word. I was thinking MacArthur said he would return to the Philippines, and he did. He was a man of his right. word, and he certainly possessed courage. I think courage is a necessary trait of being a great leader. Sometimes it's the courage to make a decision that many people are not going to understand why you make that decision. Because we are future oriented as leaders, we see into the future to guide our organizations, and it takes courage. And sometimes it takes courage to stand against the tide and do the right thing. Those are just some things that noted.
Could we say this here? I've seen this, and I know you have, because you have a great understanding of that. Somebody said character is doing what's right when nobody sees you. And yes. I don't know, I'm sure you might remember, I think it was General Eisenhower that carried in his Ike jacket a paper that said, if this Normandy invasion thing goes wrong, I take responsibility for it. And yes. that's a statement of colossal impact. I mean, when you think about somebody is willing to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, but as you said, we're human. John Adams said, if men were angels, we wouldn't need a government, but I guess we're not angels. And but here again, you're talking about integrity, and I really appreciate that. Go ahead with your exposition or what you were saying.
Well, it's to what I think great leaders, to your point, great leaders assume and take responsibility when things go bad. And I think on the flip side, great leaders tend to give other people the praise when things go right. And so, yes, taking responsibility, I think, is a trait of a good leader. You know, we often see on television, we see leaders today get caught doing something wrong and shift the blame, when many of them would gain a lot of trust and respect if they would just simply own the problem that they created or the situation that they were in. So I think that goes to
another. And Tom, I might say here, I hate to interrupt you, but for this reason, a lot of people might not know that in your profession, it's a profession that you impact a lot of people. People trust you because you deal with folks at a moment of grief when their lives are shattered and emotions are shattered and people lose their loved ones, their friends. And so, you know, I know that people trust you. I know that. And so that's a great not only is it an opportunity that the Lord has provided, but it's a great responsibility that it's incumbent upon you and me, those of us that somehow deal in the public forum, to take that responsibility seriously.
That is so true. And for your audience who don't know, I founded Sproul's Family Funeral Home in Newcastle 18 years ago, and manage that today and lead that organization among some others. And trust is the very foundation of what we do. Our former vice president and former governor, when he was governor, Mike Pence, appointed me to the State Board of Funeral Service, and I chair that board today. And, you know, I tell, I can be lenient when people, you know, when some of our licensed funeral directors mess up. But here's where I'm not lenient on. If they do something that destroys the trust in our profession, I'm not real lenient on those who destroy trust. You know, if they make a mistake, you know, a more business mistake, that's one thing. But if they steal funds, if they somehow do something to hurt the trust that the consumer has in our profession, I have very little mercy on that, because trust is the foundation of all relationships, whether it's your yes. spouse.
And Tom, you know, the other night I was in a dream I had. Honestly, I hadn't had an opportunity to share it with you, but a good friend of ours, a mutual friend, Dr. Gene Hood, used to refer to this. He said, if a man would not first be your servant, he wasn't capable of being your leader. And he also said, I don't know that I would be a good leader, but I don't want to make a good slave. And so I think those are two important words. And you and I could go on for a long time. We're tremendous friends. You've been a great friend to me. And I want to have you back, but I've got a couple other guests, and I'm going to include them. But thank you for adding to our program today, and I'm sorry that we took your time.
Maybe a little too much of it. That is quite all right. I was honored to be here, Brother Andrew. Great being with you.
Well, God bless, and you have a good day. And
same to you.
Thank you, and we'll be back after this little bumper here, and we're going to have another guest.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
And friends, we do have another guest with us today, and I believe Brother Steve Stern is going to be with us, and I haven't gotten to work with him much, but I'm so glad today that he's taken time, and also I apologize for that any delay or whatever, but I know that he's ready. Steve, good to have you with us today.
Thank you for having me on there, and happy 4th of July. You know, we're getting close to that, so we're ready to rock and roll, as you see in the background, what we do.
Well, you know, I know that you are a great patriot, and I believe it was Mark Twain that said, in the beginning of a change, the patriot is a brave and scarce man often hated and scorned. But when his cause succeeds, however, the timid join him, for then it costs nothing to be a patriot. And I think today, as never before, Steve, we're needing some Christian patriots, people that will speak truth to error. And I know that in your background and in your work, I know the fervor that you have to be a patriot. And I want you to elaborate on that a little bit.
Yeah, so what we do, I'm the vice chair of the Broward Republican Executive Committee, and I've been there for 20 years. And about 3 years ago, I was watching Steve Bannon, and a gentleman came on there, Dan Schultz, and he talked about precinctstrategy.com. So I called him up, and this is his book. You can get it at Amazon and go to precinctstrategy.com. We'll tell you a lot about it. So when I saw him, I called him up, and I told him that, you know, I was the involved with the membership chair of the Broward County, and we had some great success stories. So he said, well, let me get you on Steve Bannon. So we got on Steve Bannon and we talked about it. And I don't want to go through too much of it, but it took me about an hour and a half to get on. They put me on at 10. I got on at about 11:50. And, you know, the first time on TV or podcast or wherever, you sweat a little bit and, you know, you don't really know what to say. But it did a good job and he had me on there ever since. And what we do is we get people involved in the a particular party and get patriots involved. And we do MAGA. And as you see in the background, a couple of pictures with President Trump, and I've been up in his office a couple of times, and I'll tell you a couple of stories about it because it goes involved with our precinct strategy and our election security. So when I was up with President Trump, he asked me what I thought about the 2024 election. I told him, hey, look, you know, it's kind of the same. And he said, well, I know you do a precinct strategy call. And he said, you know, I endorsed precinct strategy for you. And if I knew about it, I probably won the last election. He said, so we know we have some problems in election security. Why don't you bring in all the people? So we did this for about 2 years now. And about 2 months ago, I was on Steve Bannon and we got 1,000 people emailed me to come on our Zoom meeting. And Steve said, hey, we're going to put this live. And, you know, I'm 83. I've been in business 70 years. And you learn something every day. So what I learned there was we had done this for 2 years with about 200 to 500 people on every time. And now we have 30,000 people on. So we saw how important this was. And we're going to have this one, another one, very shortly. And we're going to have some of the top people on. If you'd like to get involved and get in there or get a hold of me, I always put my number up, my name up, and my email. So sstern1054@gmail.com. Get a picture of it. I'm going to hold this up for a few seconds because I have a lot of information for your viewers that you're going to want to share because I get on a lot of programs. Not that I'm any different than anybody else, but somebody tapped me and said, hey, you're going to be the guy to spread the word. So we're going to have on our Zoom meeting Heather Honey, who's Restore Confidence in Pennsylvania Elections, Marley Hornick, who has a historic lawsuit going on in Pennsylvania. Now, let me just stop there because getting on many programs about a month ago, I said, hey, look, if we don't win Pennsylvania, we're not going to win this election. And as you saw Saturday, a couple of weeks ago, or this past Saturday, President Trump was in Philadelphia. Well, that exactly says what I told everybody about, and they evidently listened. And if you want to get involved in the Trump campaign, you can do that too. Just go to TrumpForce47.com and you can get involved. Now, why am I showing this? Because I'm involved in every bit of patriotism along with being involved with President Trump. And if you want to become a poll watcher and poll worker, go to ProtectTheVote.com. That's ProtectTheVote.com. Now, you see, I'm old school because I hold up signs. And when I get on TV about 2 years ago, everybody said, hey, you're a genius. I said, no. I said, I'm old. And I said, a lot of our people, when you talk about it, they don't really understand or they don't have enough time to see it. So they take a picture of it and they get it and they can do that. So besides
one thing that I might say here, and I certainly share your fervor, and I've spoken a great deal in Pennsylvania, and if you ever felt that maybe we could add to the dialogue, I'd like to be a part of one of your rallies. I'm trying to get some faith, family, and freedom rallies around the country prior to the election. You know, Steve, a fellow by the name of Judge Learned Hand, his name was Learned, L-E-A-R-N-E-D, Judge Learned Hand said this. He said, liberty lies in the hearts of men and women. When it lies there, it needs no law, no constitution to keep it. When it dies there, no law, no constitution can save it. And I really believe today that we are in a battle for righteousness. Truth versus false narratives, the idea of good versus evil. And I'm so glad to see former President Trump also emphasizing the need of us having a spiritual awakening, Christian values. Something is terribly wrong when we have a political party that's giving its support to violations of common sense, the idea of trying to change gender, the gender transformation, they call it, and the idea of killing babies right at the time of delivery, and all of the immoral things that are happening when we try to shut down Christian expression. If we don't have freedom of religion in the public square, we don't have any freedom. That's the first basic amendment in the Bill of Rights, 1791. Congress shall make no law respecting establishment of religion. But I want you to continue here. We got a little extra time. Is there anything that you think of that we at Faith, Family, and Freedom might be able to do?
Well, I think one of the most important things is 21 million religious people do not vote. Now, think about this. We have 60 million voters, and we need these 21 million people to step up. And we have people who are on our team. Now, we have a big team. We have 200,000 people. There's 400,000 spots in the Republican Party. 200,000 are filled. That's ludicrous because we have 60 million voters. So we need people to step up. And again, we're going to talk about a couple of things. First of all, we got 4th of July coming up. This is our greatest holiday for patriotism because patriotism has fallen down from 63% to 22%. So we're the largest patriotic website in the world called theflagshirt.com. We're glad to help you. We are shipping round the clock. Our people came in early in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, to get this stuff out for everybody. And it's very, very important for people to get involved. Now, I know we don't have a lot of time, but I want to tell everybody to go to Stern American. That's my podcast. But what's more important, you can see all our past discussions we've had on election security. You can see all the ones we had. I did a huge event for Flag Day, of course, patriotism. This past Flag Day, we had 350,000 people listen. We talked about the history of the flag. That's one of the most important things because most of the students we talked to had no clue about the history of the flag. So we had 12 speakers speak about the history of the flag old, and then we had 12 people speak about the history now. So this was a huge thing, and if you want to see it, you can. If you want to come to any of our calls, we'll have anywhere from 60 to 70,000 people on. Again, we have some tremendous people coming on. Peter Berniker, who's going to talk about Wisconsin lawsuits. Seth Kessel. Seth Kessel is telling us about the 30 counties that are going to make a difference in this election. We're going to have Christine Bowserman, who works for John Frederick. So I was just on this morning. She's going to talk about a plan for Arizona.
I'd like to be involved. As a matter of fact, Steve, I plan to be in Rubyville, Ohio on July the 3rd. And I thank you for being a guest. Again, thank you that you would take time and be with us today here on the Faith, Family, Freedom podcast. And we appreciate our friends right here at BBS. And we'll look forward to speaking with you again, Steve Stern. Okay?
You got it. And we will get you involved. Action, action, action. Let's get everybody off their butts and start to work.
Well, you give me a call and we'll come, okay?
You got it.
God bless. Thank you. And we'll be back. Lee McAdoo so much, and Lee.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues, and I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
Well, it's wonderful to have the guests that we've had on today. And if you're able to see our and view our podcast here at BBS Radio TV, I hope that you'll get in touch with us. We'd love to come into your area, and we're all about trying to do what we can do to help alleviate some of the bad situations that we've seen in our country in the last two or three years here, and ever since the present administration took over. Their design has been to have social experimenting rather than having an emphasis upon a strong defense or emphasizing people because of their background and their professionalism. These folks are trying to design things just on a sociological basis and to have all kinds of diversity. Well, I think we ought to consider performance ability, the ability to do things and to have certain skills. And so we're not just about trying to show how much diversity that we can have. We need competent individuals. And I hope that Mr. Mike Speedy is available. If he is, I'd like to bring him into the discussion and have some dialogue with Mike Speedy. I hope Mike is there. Are you there, Mike?
Yeah, I'm right here, Brother Andrew. Can you hear me okay?
I hope that we can hear you all right. Mike Speedy is a Christian businessman. He just ran for Congress here in our state of Indiana. Was that the 5th district, Mike, or the 6th?
It's 6th district.
All right. And he did quite well. And he is a state representative in our legislature. And I just got to know Mike, and I am certainly impressed with his desire to speak truth to error and to be a patriot and to be a Christian representative. We need that so desperately. Mike, I want you to tell us a little bit about how you view the government and how that you view your role as a participant. I mean, I know you spent a lot of your own money to try to have this victory, but who knows? It may be that the Lord has something greater for you on down the way. I lost a race for state senate by 609 votes several years ago, and I survived. I didn't know at the time. I was depressed about the outcome, but Mike, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to tell our viewers here today what you think can be done to help out everybody.
Sure. Obviously, I have two careers, as I like to say. I do my night job because of my mom. That's public service. And I do my day job because of my dad. I'm in the same business that my dad was in. But public service is something that I feel called to do. My mom taught me at a young age that too much is given, much is required. And that means stepping up to be a leader, and also a believer in Christ. So it also means that I have a different arena to be a witness to, and to hopefully set myself up to share the gospel and to share truth, but otherwise be a light in a dead and dark world, especially in politics. And so that's been my motivation since I served on Indianapolis City Council for 7 years, and in the House of Representatives, Indiana's House of Representatives, for 14. And yep, felt called to run for Congress. It didn't work out, but we believe God is in control. We want His plan, His will first, and we're beyond it now. We're just trying to see what our next chapter in our life is.
So. Well, you know, Mike, I read in the history books where that Elihu Root, the Secretary of War under the 26th President, Theodore Roosevelt, he said that everybody should be a politician in the sense that everybody should be engaged, everybody should be vigilant, everybody should know what's going on. You know, a participatory government where we have representative government, and we are a democracy in this sense. We are a republic, but we are to make choices, and that's the way it's always been. However, I think that as citizens, we should vote. We should be informed about our voting. I think that we ought to be governed by certain principles as we make that decision. I think it ought to be in regards to who best represents the values as it relates to our faith, our family, and our freedoms. You know, five grandchildren, and about 10 great-grandchildren, I think it is. And, you know, I want to leave a legacy for them, and I want to give this to not only you, Mike, but to all of our viewers. I saw a sign the other day, and it said, "What kind of ancestor will you be? What kind of ancestor will you be?" And it really spoke to me. How about what kind of a legacy, what kind of an imprint, what kind of footsteps am I leaving behind for my children and family? And, you know, we all are mortal, but we don't stay here forever. We have to make a choice between heaven and hell. We also have to make a choice about what kind of government we want. And so I want you to be encouraged, and I know that you'll continue to do that. And we need to reach out to everybody that we can. And I want to speak in as many places. I'd like to have a good Faith, Family, Freedom rally here in our own state. Maybe you could help with that. But I want you to have some liberty here to continue, Mike. I know you have other information, and I don't want to take away my filibustering here and taking your time. So continue, brother, with the thought you had.
Well, we're obviously like-minded, Brother Andrew. I do believe Christians have a responsibility to fulfill civic duty. That doesn't mean everyone's civic duty is the same. Some of us step up and run for office, and others simply must be an informed voter. And you know, there are several elections when I vote and I leave a particular office blank, but I voted still. I fulfilled my obligation, even if I have information that keeps me from voting from that particular office holder. But the way I see it is, America, even with all its troubles and its decadence and its is still a tremendous blessing to my family, to my kids, to my future kids, grandkids, and I think we would be dismissive of God's blessing if we did not inform ourselves, participate in voting, and even if we feel led, stepping up and running for office or serving on a board or just being visible in our community to shine a light wherever we go. And that's my heartfelt belief. So.
Well, you know, Mike, one thing that we might take also some encouragement in, and here in Indiana, we're a pretty conservative state, I guess, in comparison to other states, but we have a supermajority, I think, in the state Senate and maybe in the House of Representatives as well. But one thing here I think we could mention, and I say this not being castigating or being abrasive toward anybody, but just recently, we had our state GOP convention, and Micah Beckwith, a youth pastor, and worked very, very hard and was able to secure the nomination for lieutenant governor to run with our Republican gubernatorial nominee, Mike Braun. And many people, I guess, and I'll have to be quite honest, I thought maybe he would be the underdog and perhaps the candidate that had been endorsed would be the ultimate candidate. But it was not to be. And this, I think we had a candidate in the state representative, and I got to meet her. But Mike Beckwith did something, and I only mention it to show folks that I think sometimes that even whether we are in what might be classified the establishment or we're just a part of the grassroots can make a difference. We've seen illustrations of that from time immemorial, where one vote made a difference. You know, one vote got Texas into the Union. One vote gave us the Selective Service System right before World War II. One vote made France a republic rather than a monarchy. I think one vote, you know, established our currency as not being of a German background. So there are a lot of cases of how that one vote or people, you know, sometimes we know that money, they say, is the mother's milk of politics, but a candidate that goes out, has some charisma, is willing to work hard, is willing to go to the base and present his qualifications and his ideas, it can make a difference. So, again, I'm not throwing a stone at anybody. I'm just simply saying that democracy, if given an opportunity, that is, as far as the citizens are concerned, can work, and it's supposed to work, Mike.
I believe that. I believe that. I want to congratulate Micah Beckwith for this one.
Yes.
I win in nomination. I don't know him really well, but what I know has been my interactions with him have been positive. I'm cautiously optimistic that he'll do a great job. He'll be he'll fulfill the role that he wants to fulfill, and our state will be moved in the right direction. I did support Julie, Representative Julie McGuire. I was her mentor in the House, and she was eminently qualified to do that as well. I just think there's an element to our party that doesn't like this kind of anti-authoritarian, if you will. But Julie is a good, solid conservative, very competent in legislator, and would have been a great LG. But the process works in ways that surprises us, and it can often be for the better. I congratulate Micah.
I think your assessment is just right on target. I met Julia, a great candidate. She seemed to have integrity, some business finesse, and was able to be a fundraiser for different philanthropic groups and maybe her own church. But I think that would have been wonderful. But here again, I guess on the flip side of that coin, I was just trying to point out that sometimes we might tend to think that an underdog doesn't have an opportunity, but I think if we had time to think about it, Mike, we could probably come up with several candidates that have won that didn't have much of a background of winning. For example, when I first heard of some of the candidates for president just a few years ago, I thought, my, who is this person? But, you know, you take like Governor Mike Huckabee has made a great contribution, yeah. Even though he didn't win the presidential nomination. My, he's been a voice for Christian conservatives, and I hope to maybe have him on the program sometime. But Mike Speedy, thank you for being my newfound friend, and I'll look forward to having you back with us whenever we have the opportunity. Okay?
Absolutely, Brother Andrew. Thank you for having me today. It's been a wonderful experience.
God bless you, my brother. And we'll be back in just a moment, but I want to come back and maybe do our book promotion about It's Always a Struggle, but if that can be found. And that way, those of you that might want to get a copy of our book, well, you can have the information there, and we'll be back in just a few seconds here.
Mike Lindell here, and like you, I see our country being destroyed daily. We face massive economic issues. And I can tell you from firsthand experience, there are people in power who threaten the values that have made our country great. Well, I've been a believer in gold and silver for a long time, and I've searched for years for a partner that shares my values. Well, Genesis Gold Group showed me how easy it is to protect your IRA, 401k, or your retirement with gold and silver. Their faith-driven approach to service and stewardship is one that stands out from the rest. So call Genesis Gold Group now at 800-385-GOLD. That's 800-385-4653. Or go to bbsradiogold.com.
And friends, we have certainly enjoyed our time with you today. I hope that as you get acclimated or perhaps oriented towards the Phipps Faith Family Freedom podcast here on BBS, maybe you can help tell others about it and share with them. We're trying to do our best to be a voice for the values that made us great in the first place. We believe that the Declaration of Independence, who next week we'll be saying more about, that was written and by five individuals, Thomas Jefferson being basically the principal writer. He and John Adams, Benjamin Franklin, Roger Sherman, and Robert Livingston. Sherman was a shoe cobbler from New York. Livingston was out of Connecticut, and of course, Benjamin Franklin from Pennsylvania, John Adams from Massachusetts, and Thomas Jefferson, the brains, so to speak, or at least he was able to write. He was only, I think, some list him around 33, and others I've seen 34. But this red-headed Virginian, who had a way with words and voiced in that declaration the aspirations, the goals, the objectives for this new fledgling nation. And then he proceeded with 27 indictments against King George III, and he summarized it all by saying, with a firm reliance upon the divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And he, of course, he talked in the second paragraph about these rights. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. These rights came from God, he said, not from government. And that's precisely almost 200 years later was what President John F. Kennedy said. He said, our rights didn't come from the generosity of the state, but they came from the hand of God. I think when you look back and you can see the foundational principles upon which our nation was founded, it was faith-based, and it was on the idea that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The Bible also said, except the Lord build the city, they that build it labor in vain. And so this podcast is going to be something that you'll want to be a part of. And I appreciate our friends Doug and Don Newsom and Steve Nortier and all those Genesis Gold for helping us to help you. And I'm going to be looking forward already to next week, because we're really going to have a dynamite program as we take a look at the 4th of July and give you some things that perhaps, if you don't know, maybe you can appreciate that, but maybe if you know them, perhaps it will be a reinforcement. But until the very next special time, this is your friend, Andrew Phipps, saying, may God bless each one. Have a wonderful day and enjoy it fully. Thank you for joining us.